Yo, man, what's going on? This is E-Dub, and we are back with another episode of the Who Got Next podcast. Thank you for tuning in. This week, I'm talking to a young brother. He is a native of Charlotte. He's around here doing big things, and I like to see the growth of what this young brother is doing. Very inspirational to the community, and he would probably say inspiration to himself. So I got my homie Brandon Crooms on the pod. What's going on, man?
What's up, man? It's a pleasure to be here. Appreciate it.
Hey, man, pleasure to be here, too. Of course, we was talking online, about a couple of things, but just want to kind of give a backstory on Brandon Crooms. Young guy. I want to say he's influential in trying to make things positive in the city. He sees a lot of good that can be done here with technology, being a creative, and just trying to get your foot out there in the city. You look around and you see, of course, with Charlotte, we have a big infrastructure on banking. I still want to say small business. It's just about the matter of getting that small businesses in the limelight with social media. And I think that's where you come in. Is that about right?
Yeah, for sure. I would say that.
Okay. So just talk a little bit about what you have going on.
Yeah. So me personally, I'm more so focused on business structure in the creative realm.
Mm-hmm.
So I own and operate a company called ICANN. We're a creative agency. And I always like to give this story with it. Around the time I was probably around 6 or 7, maybe a little younger, I used to always tell my mom and my grandma, I wanted to be an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would always say that, engineer. And, being young, they're probably like, okay, whatever. Or being from where we're from, it's not really a place where you could take that, cultivate that, and,
right,
see that to life. So, that kind of stuck with me throughout my whole life. And I like to say that my business, our agency now, is for those kids that maybe achieve those goals, maybe did become an engineer or a doctor or a designer.
Mm-hmm.
Or just more so an engineer in mind, engineer in heart, a doctor in heart, a healer, right? We've got this space to where we can all come together and work on socially impactful problems and really try to make big change.
And you like to use the word engineer, which, when people think about, when I think about engineering, I'm thinking about taking things apart,
for sure,
and putting them back together. I feel all of us are engineers at some point. We just didn't know that we are doing that. Mm-hmm. So it could be your life. It could be your craft. It could be something that you're just trying to figure out within yourself and what it is you want to do. So I think engineering is a good word. So you did say you have a company. It's called ICANN, right?
Correct.
So just kind of talk about, and I think you said that was an acronym.
Yeah. So when we started, it was, and we kind of did away with that. But, and you can see the engineer in this. It was Independent Creative Agency Network.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that was just long, so we shortened it to just ICANN.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's exactly what it was when we came up with that acronym. We care about the independence. We care about, us creatives, trying to find our way, not trying to go to these big conglomerates, but trying to build our own, being creative, giving a service, but mm-hmm. also empowering each other to build this, hopefully this infrastructure and this big network.
And you mind me asking your age?
No, I'm 25.
25, yeah. Okay. 37. At 25, I was just getting out of college. Probably was out of college for 2 or 3 years, trying to figure it out. Most people know exactly what it is they want to do when they get out of school. Some don't. And I want to say now with the generation, I'm still a part of that generation, but I'm just a little bit older. I'm a little bit older than that. So I think 25-year-olds, between 18 to 28, get it. They fully understand. I went to school. You did it, right?
No, I didn't.
Was school something that you wanted to do, or you just, after you graduated high school, you was like, man, let me just take another route?
I wanted to do school, man. That was something I think everybody who didn't go to school always had that in the back of their head. Like, mm-hmm. I really wanted to go. I kind of went to school, on a social setting. So, I moved. The great thing was I worked for this company called Social Status,
mm-hmm.
when I was 17, and had some great mentors in there. Got to move and open up the Greensboro location. Mm-hmm. And of course, about Greensboro, it's really a college town. So I was there.
And Social Status up there is near UNCG, right?
Yeah, it is. It's right next to UNCG. And I forgot what other school is that, Benedict or?
Bennett.
Bennett, yep. So I was up there and, you know, just being in the social settings, my business partners were up there. So I was always at the campuses, all these different campuses, always participating in events, always in social settings. I definitely sat in some UNCG classes at times. So I did kind of have a little bit of that experience. But of course, it's nothing like actually going through it, being in it.
But you actually, that's a good experience to have, number one. Number two, you did it for free.
Right. that's my finesse.
Yeah, exactly. You did it for free. So you kind of got a little bit of intel without dropping a dollar. So that's the hustle.
Right. That's so. What, and you know, that it's funny because that's just, I used to sit in the cafeteria and they'd be like, man, do you go here? Like, and people still ask me to this day. It was like, you know, they think I went to UNCG or A&T, and it's funny.
Hey, man, but I stayed in Greensboro for 3 years, so I know. But the cab food at UNCG is the shit.
Right?
Yeah, it's pretty much the shit. It's probably one of the best that I have tasted. I don't know why, but yeah. I had one of my best friends with there. So he was like, yo, man, you want to go get something to eat? I'm like, where are we going, cookout? Or he was like, nah, we're going to go down to the calf. And I'm like, hey, bro.
That calf was popping.
I'm like,
Wednesdays, I think they did. I don't eat meat anymore, but Wednesdays, I think they did chicken.
Let me listen. It's not just UNCG. Okay. let me break it down to you. Every school, I'm going to say just about every school I can think of do Chicken Wednesdays.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know where it came from. Yeah. I do not know where it started. I honestly, the fact that you said that, I really just thought it was an HBCU thing.
Really?
I mean, as far as just calling it Chicken Wednesdays, yeah. Right, sure. I never would have thought that. But my man was like, nah, man. Well, I knew they did chicken. I'm not oblivious to that. But right. The fact that we called it, nah, man, we did it too. The AT, like, nah, we did it too. You talking to somebody that went through, nah, we did it too. So I guess that was just
the thing.
I don't know who started that. I don't know where it came from, but he be like, yeah, man, let's go down to the calf. And I'm like, hey, bro, I came up here from school to eat something different. He was like, I got you.
I got
He was like, I got you, man. He said, come over to the, just roll with me.
Changed your life.
Yeah, it changed my life. Food, of course, man. I mean, young women, you know, women, that's where they was going. The women was going in there. You had the fraternities and sororities was in there. You know, at that time, me and him was actually going through our own different processes with his fraternity and me pledging my fraternity. So it was just good to get a different mix of things, man. But bottom line, hey, man, they food was nice.
Yeah, man.
I wonder how it still tastes, but it's nice now, man.
It was dope. Like you said, man, just getting those.
Got off on a tangent, but.
You
made me think about it for a second.
But like I said, like, you know, we were talking about it. It's that same thing. All those experiences kind of helped me in continuing to create what I'm creating. And, you know, yeah, it was a little bit of a finesse on my part. And, you know, I'm glad for the experience.
That's what's up, man. So let's talk about Charlotte. kind of talked about what you was into, talked about what you've been trying to do. And my main focus, of course, is on Charlotte. This is where I stay at. This is where you're from. And we see a lot of things that are brewing here in Charlotte. Now, my concern is the top going to boil over? And I think that's what a lot of us are trying to find out. I consider myself a creative, just creative in a different aspect. But I'm also working in corporate America. So I see both sides of it. I see what corporate America does for Charlotte. But I also see what I like to call it. I don't like to say the little people, but I like to say the village. I see the village of people that are trying to make a name for themselves. So what is it that you see in the community about trying to be a creative here and trying to make a name for yourself and just trying to build that infrastructure for us to be a part of and to separate ourselves from the big conglomerates that you speak of?
Yeah, so Dave has wings. I think you interviewed him. Yeah,
Shout out to Dave. Frat brother too.
Oh, word. So yeah, he man, we have these conversations all the time, and he's always shifting my perspective a little bit here and there. But I had a realization through one of our conversations about as far as when you look at like independent and creatives, because we don't have a big spotlight on us in Charlotte all the time. We're getting some here and there, but because we don't have that big media around us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get through the pain and suffering of building something and continuing to build it and build it and build it, it just makes us really, really good because it's not,
I agree.
Right? It's no fluff. It's no like, okay, you make something cool one time, you have a good one strategy, mm-hmm. you get some media, and now you've got opportunities, resources coming to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like with Charlotte, and as a creative, you got to have several strategies back to back. You got to have several creations. You got to really keep it consistent and keep it going. And it, mm-hmm. it just really teaches you to be great at your craft. So I think a lot of us, though, we don't endure the pain and suffering, and we fall off. A lot of creatives mm-hmm. just fall off because it is, or they move out. So that I think that's one, you know, you definitely as an individual have to keep going to the craft, keep working that, because it is going to come a time when the media is going to be here or be on you. Mm-hmm. And that's when you'll shine. Two is, I think I don't remember the number, but I know think 700,000 between a million, something like that, right? As the people here, the markets here, I think all these cool people and all that cool shit, like, we just have to tap into these markets that we don't think are cool, or we don't think that serve us, the breweries or the banks and stuff like that. If we can mm-hmm. find a way to, you know, and this is one of the missions I care about, bridge the independent and the institution and figure out a way to say, hey, like, let's tap into it. Let's figure out a way to tap into those different markets and those subcultures. I think we can make a lot of capital there. I think mm-hmm. we can make money there. And I think it helps bring more creativity, more art, more life to the city all around. So I think as an independent, man, just trying to really bridge that gap mm-hmm. to the institutions and to that infrastructure, I think that'll help Charlotte as a whole. Yeah, I would say those two are the really important things to do.
And to allude to your point and what you're talking about, when I think about those infrastructures and I think about the small business, because one thing I will say about Charlotte is they're not lacking small business at all, in no capacity. But what we are lacking is, and I think that's what you're saying, so I'm going to kind of break it into two-part sections. We talk about gentrification all the time. So when you look at gentrification and you look at what some of the companies or some of the small businesses that are here, you mentioned breweries. That's one of the first things I think of. About 5 or 6 years ago, internet cafes was popping. I mean, popping all over the city. Mm-hmm. But where were they popping at? The areas where some residents will not go to. So, if you get my drift. So, right. Read between the lines. I use two terms. I use Anglos and I use coworkers. So, when I say coworkers, I'm talking about, you know, them. You know, white people. So, and I'm not trying to dog them because I know they listen to the show. But when you're thinking about it, you're looking at what we created. We created the internet cafes. We created the promoting parties at one time. You're looking at things like that. But then you look over on the other side, you got the breweries. Breweries popping up left and right.
Sure.
So when they're popping up, when I look at the breweries, I look at that as a microcosm of the gentrification that's going on. You go into certain communities where Noda is now in little areas with the Noda and Noda Midwood, those areas, and now you're popping up with Smallwood. You're popping up with all of these other areas where it's not McCrory Heights off of Betty's Ford Road. It's not Oaklawn in that area. You seeing what can happen here, but it's not popping off the way. But now you're starting to see gentrification going on in those areas. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at things like that, you're looking at what could be, but it's up to us. It's up to us to try to exactly. It's up to us to try to make those things happen. So when I'm talking to the Brandon Crooms or the Daves and the Dup and Swats, yeah. or people my age, Tank, guys who are promoters or the guys who have stuff, you're listening to them and you hear one saying, I don't know what to do. And then you hear the other ones, like the younger guys saying, look, these are things that we're trying to do. So how do we bring all of that together? I think it starts with these type of conversations. Two different age gaps between you and I, but I found you. You know what I'm saying? So I just look at things like that. And you look at this podcast, that's pretty much why I created this platform, because I want to have those conversations to get people to start thinking about things. You know, it's not all about just, well, number one, stop complaining.
Yeah.
Stop complaining and figure out a way to make it happen. But it has to benefit. I mean, it has to benefit everybody, but it also has to benefit the people around you, your community.
Yeah, nah. Just to add to that, yeah, me talking to people like Dave and you know, just different people in the creative network.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, Dave and I, we've been born and raised Charlotte. We probably haven't had a real conversation till about maybe 2-3 years ago. A real conversation about, oh, this is what Dave represents.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I represent. And now we can support each other more fully because we kind of understand our perception, our end goals and things like that. But like you said, there was really, it's like, oh, that's Dave over there. Oh, this is Brandon over here. It's cool. We dap each other up when we see each other. But mm-hmm. there was no conversation in figuring out,
right,
oh, where's your goals?
Exactly.
And now that we did have that conversation and that communication, it's like, now I want to support him fully. He wants to support me fully. And we want to, you know, support others. So I think, yeah, you're exactly right. One of the things we do at ICANN is have an event called the Ideation Lab.
Mm-hmm.
And we bring creatives, artists, photographers, all these different people together. And we collaborate on answering socially impactful questions. So one of our questions might be, how might we imagine Charlotte as a distribution network for ideas? Or how might we imagine a global initiative on multicultural comprehension, right? Like really big questions. But when you have all these different creatives in the building, we all sit and try to answer these questions. You get a deep dive in everybody's psyche and their mindset and figuring mm-hmm. out what ideas they like, what ideas are coming from them, why they're coming from them. And you have this safe space to, you know, be yourself, have these crazy ideas and, mm-hmm. and you know, talk about your creativity, talk about, oh, this is actually what I'm working on. It fits right into it. And then mm-hmm. you start to see how people mesh. And man, I'm telling you, after these events, like, you know, people get it. People get each other. People are dapping up. People are hugging. People are like, yo, let's connect. Let's, you know, because there's no pressure at these events. I'm not saying take all these ideas and do them afterwards. It's just like, yo, let's have it here. Let's talk.
It gets the juices flowing. Exactly. I think it kind of makes that hype. They're not out. Your event is one thing, but there's a couple people around here trying to do that too, sure. but in different avenues. So
that's important.
Yeah, different avenues. There's an event that goes on here, Charlotte Mornings. They do it the first Friday of each month, yeah. but they go to different places.
Matt Allen.
Yeah, Charlotte. Yeah. Go to different events and things like that. Me and one of my friends, I found out about it a while back, and we try to go. She actually goes a little bit more. And I do. I handle some business with her, but she goes a little bit more than I can, because she has the flexibility to. Unfortunately, I don't. mm-hmm. I don't. So I try to catch the things when I can. But when you go in there, they're bringing people in for small businesses, regardless of race, religion, whatever. There are people out there that are doing these things, and you're sitting there like, why don't I know about them? You know, as much as I feel that I'm in tune with what's going on out there in Charlotte, there's always somebody out there that you have no idea about that's really doing some good stuff. And it's like, why haven't I ran into you yet?
Man, I'm telling you, man, we got to get Dave back up here just to talk to him again. Because I'm literally, yeah. we have these conversations, and we had this conversation, I think, the other day. It's like, we haven't even stepped enough out of our sub pocket to even experience that whole other side, experience that whole other side of how the breweries work or how city planning works for these different, you know, city planners, right? Like we haven't stepped outside of our culture or our subculture enough to even be like, oh, this is why. This
why do you think that?
Man, that's tough. I think it's complex. A bunch of reasons. I think one of them is, you know, asking the question why I'm really doing this. Because I think when you don't ask that question, you kind of start doing things for this community, your Instagram friends and followers, mm-hmm. right? You start doing it for them. And you're not even realizing, you just want some validation from them. Like, hey, mm-hmm. y'all see I'm still doing this, right?
Right.
But you're not trying to really ask yourself and be like, why am I doing this? Wait, I want to connect the institutions and the mm-hmm. independents. So let me reach out to the Mint Museum. Let me reach out to the Knight Foundation. And let me get to these people. And so I think asking yourself the question, like, why am I really doing this? And how am I really going to do this? I think that then you kind of get a little bit more realer. And then you're like, okay, well, that means I need to really step out. I really need to take a risk and go meet with these banks and mm-hmm. these city planners. So I think that's one. And another part of it is just having these projections on each other. I think we talked about this before we got on. But a lot of times we don't partner with each other. Being born and raised from Charlotte, you know, we know everything about each other. We're all like cousins, right? So mm-hmm. we kind of hold on to the 18-year-old self or the 25-year-old self when you was doing whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And we hold on to that. And so it makes it difficult for us to partner, collaborate, because we still got some old feeling about something 3-5 years ago, right? So I think when you let all that go and we're like, hey, we don't have a lot of time here. We want to get some things done. Let's make a strategic partnership. You focus on this. I'll focus on this. Let's go and get these different cultures and let's bring it all together.
And I think that's about collaboration as well. I think we're, let's just be transparent here since people are listening. We're our own worst enemy.
For sure.
Black people. We are our own worst enemy when it comes to, you know, when it comes to things like that. So when you're thinking about, when you're thinking about everything that's going on out there in the world and you're trying to get an understanding of what it is you need to do, you mentioned fear. You say fear. I agree with that. But also I'm going to add to that. It's the fear of the unknown about what the other person is doing. And two, what is there? Is that my competitor? I think a lot of times we're too busy trying to compete against each other. They're trying to figure out, look, if you have a t-shirt line, I have a watch line, why can't you and I both figure out a way to mesh both of them together for everybody? And I think that's where we fall short at. I think we're too busy saying, man, that brother over there got a hat, got a t-shirt line, man. I'm thinking about doing t-shirts one day, you know, sometime soon. I don't want to rock with them like that. They might try to come in, steal my shine, try to steal my platform and stuff like that. And that's where we suck at. We do suck. Yeah. we suck right there. But you have to open up them. You got to open up them. You got to extend them olive branches. And you got to say to them, look, I know what you got going on. I know what I got going on. What can you and I both do to build something bigger and bring both sides together to make it even more grand than what it was when we first started individually?
Yeah, and we don't even, and it's just, you got to look at it on a basic level of your time. Your time, like, you got most of us working 8 hours out of the day for someone else.
Right.
We sleeping for 8 hours. We
got supposedly.
Right, suppose some of
us. I only get about four and a half.
Right. So most of us, you know, we try to sleep for 8 hours. We cook, clean, and eat for another 3 hours. We entertaining friends and family another 2 hours. We wasting Instagram and Twitter and all that another 2-3 hours. It's like, man, you got 2 hours, 3 hours to really do what you're trying to do. You have to partner. You have no choice but to collaborate. You have no choice but to find people who, where it makes sense, and, you know, they hold integrity, you hold integrity, you hold these characteristics that you value, and so everything seems cool, everything is cool. You appreciate their business, they appreciate your business. Figure it out. Get together, figure it out. How can we do this? How can I focus on this? You focus on this, and we attack this specific need. So, you know, we don't really have a choice, being that, you know, the things that have happened to us, we all know systematically, and, you know, our mentality that has been really beaten and bred into us for a long, long, long time. It's like, we don't have a choice now but to collaborate, figure this thing out together.
Okay, I rock with that. So let's not just talk about that. Let's find out let's talk about branding. What type of music are you into?
Oh, man. I really like a range of music, of course, but, you know, as far as artists, Kanye is my favorite artist. You know, I'm still riding with my boy. I'm still rolling with my boy Kanye.
Good or bad, you with him?
I'm with him, man. I'm with him through it all, because I've seen the genius, and, you know, I feel like he's finding his way through it all, so... I'm with my boy Kanye.
what's your favorite Kanye album?
That's hard.
Give me your top Kanye album.
Man, I gotta do Graduation, just because of what it meant to my life. I mean, it may not be the top album, but just how it meant to it was my life.
No, it's debatable. It's debatable. I think Late Registration is my favorite. It's my favorite, but I also think it's his best. But My Beautiful Twisted Dark Fantasy is like his most sonically sound album, period. I think the sequence was great. How he put it together from beginning to end was great. To me, that was just his shit. I think he had a lot to prove then. He was just coming off the Taylor Swift thing. Mm-hmm. He went into exile. Nobody knew where the hell he was. Right. Nobody knew where the hell he was until you started hearing about. I think so much came out of that album. I think Good Fridays, which I have never seen before. Nobody has duplicated that aspect of it, where you have these artists just going in there every week saying, "Bruh, is Kanye gonna hit me up to do a song? And hell, is it gonna be the Good Friday? You know, Good Friday session." So I think that also did that. That also made sense at the time. I would love to see it again if he's able, you know, if he's able to do it. But I don't know. He's got a lot going on. He got a lot going on. I really would love for him to get back to. I'm a huge Kanye fan. I'm not gonna sit here and lie. I'm a huge Kanye fan, you know. But I'm also not blind either. You know, I'm like, bro, get to the music, man. Like, stop all this bullshit. Just get to the music. You already don't know what you're talking about, so just stop talking. Stop talking. Go into the studio and make some of that dope shit that you know, that we all know that you're good for, man. It's in them. I just think when artists, music never dies. It's like driving a stick shift. Once you learn how to drive it, you could do it with your eyes closed, you know. And I think Kanye West is just one of those people, and he know he has it, but he got to get back to the. He has to get back to the core, man.
He's coming from a pure place, I think, with everything he tries.
I believe he's genuine. I believe he's genuine. He's just.
That's it right there. Yeah.
I really believe he wants to do good.
Yeah, for sure.
His delivery is just terrible. His delivery is terrible. He also goes in not knowing the full. He's not educated on some of the things that he talks about, which he admits. Oh, I didn't know about that. Well, then why'd you say it? Why did you say it? Now you're here. You know, now you're here. So when we thinking that you about to, oh shit, the old Kanye coming back. He's coming back, and I'd be like, yes. He fucks it up again.
Well, I think,
okay. But he's human.
You
know, I mean,
sure that we do as everyone. All of us, we all put a lot of pressure on these people at times, and we put the pressure on them to be exact and to be forthright and to be correct in a timely manner, I would say. But he, again, like we said, I think it's very genuine. I think it is from a pure place. Of course, there's a lot of things that think it could be worked on as far as delivery.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm just happy that somebody's doing it. You know, yep. I'm happy someone's saying it. I'm happy someone's trying to challenge it. You know, and I just take it all and I reflect it to myself and I'm like, okay, you know, if it's being challenged and I feel some type of way about it, I need to maybe explore that a little bit more.
Right.
And maybe not explore it in his way or any other way that the media is telling me, explore it in my way. And so that's what I do. You know, I try not to get triggered by any of the things that goes on, but I try to really deep dive and explore into maybe some of the things he's saying or some of the things that they're around. But again, I think he's kind of getting, I don't want to say back, but he's kind of transforming into this new Kanye that I think is going to be all the best aspects of everything that we like and dislike.
I pray. I'm not going to lie.
Did you see the Sunday service?
I did. I liked, I didn't see that. I didn't see the Coachella service, but I did. But I did when he first started. You about to get mad at me, but I tell. All right, so when I first saw it, I was like, "Okay, where is he going with this?" I'm a big fan of live instrumentation. Mm-hmm. I like the flip on his songs where it has a gospel feel to it, and I kind of saw him going that way with The Life of Pablo.
Right.
You can hear it.
Right.
There's a lot of influences that come in with that album. So I kind of see where he was going with that, and I like the live version feel to it. Had no idea he was going to do Coachella with it. So when he, but as the time went on, kept going. I think when I got the Coachella spot, when I looked at a little bit of it, I said, he come off a little cultish. Like a little bit cultish. But I know it's not no cult. But it's just, like I said, I just thought it was dope. But question is, where is he going with it? Mm-hmm. And
that we'll see with this next album. We'll see. And his Sunday service was really good. Like, even my mom, you know, she's super Christian. And she was like, that boy going to heaven after seeing that. Like, she was about to tear up, you know, watching that Coachella stream. And it was really cool. It had a lot of good feedback, you know, from Twitter and all of that. And so it was really a dope thing, and to see like the genuine moments of him crying and the fellowship and the communion and all of that, like it was real authentic, and it just seems, you know, like we said, we'll see on the next album, but it just seems like he's pulling off all these different parts of himself and putting it into this new gift for us.
I'm gonna take your word for it. I'm gonna take your word for it. Yeah, I'm gonna take your word for it. But I mean, I just wish Kanye the best, and I just hope he gets back to. I believe he will. I don't know if he got to divorce Kim to do it. I don't know. Nobody knows, man. Matter of fact, you know, he was here not too long ago.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, he was here not too long ago. So, I mean, we'll see, man. All right, so let me read something to you. So I remember I was telling you before that somebody actually had kind of introduced me to you a while back. So I had kind of reached out to him and told me what, you know, I said, yo, man, I said, I'm interviewing Brandon Crooms that you told me about. I said, so just kind of, I'm gonna be trying to get my journalism on sometimes. So I said, anything you could kind of tell me about him or like kind of give me some words? So this is what he had to say. He was like, he said, there are people whose positive energy fills the room just by their physical presence. He said, Brandon is one of those people. I believe I've known Brandon since he was in high school and, of course, at Social Status. And he's always been the quote-unquote light. It's no surprise he's making the moves he is now as one of the brilliant young minds coming out of Charlotte, North Carolina. That's DJ Dex the Dynamite.
DJ.
Yeah, that's one of my close friends.
Yeah.
So he had told me about you a long time ago. He said, man, Eric, I know you. I see what you're doing on the show. He said, man, I think you might want to. He just started sending me stuff. He didn't tell me at first. He was just sending me stuff. So I was like, man, who is this guy? Like, and he was like, man, he said, this kid I had been, you know, he kind of got to know over the years. And of course, Social Status, me and him is in the sneakers. I'm part of a crew called the Freshmen. So that's where me and him know each other. Just know each other before that, but we started that conglomerate. So he's always had some great things to say about you. So as our age and looking at somebody at your age, just thinking the way you think, he speaks really, if he speaks highly of you, then you must got to be good people.
For sure. Yeah. One time on Facebook, it's funny. I used to, you know, being in high school, posting crazy stuff on Facebook. I always remember him commenting like, come on, young blood.
Right.
You know,
that's,
you know,
him.
You got somewhere to go. Like,
that's him.
You might get a scholarship and they come back and look at this. And I'm like, yo, it's just a song. And he's like, nah, you know. So he always schooled me. So I appreciate those words for sure.
Yeah, and he's in education too. So he sees it all the time, yeah, what the guy's coming in. So that is good people, man. That's my guy. Talk about, I know you talked about Social Status, but I know there was a thing, I guess they do, Be Social. Mm-hmm. Talk about that a little bit, and how that got started.
Yeah, Be Social is pretty cool. So again, I left Social Status April of last year, or APB. So I've been working with the company 6 years on and off pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I've seen and who I've talked to, Be Social is just this open community space that's meant to continue the experience of Social Status.
Mm-hmm.
They want to give customers an experience, and I think that's the new economy we're living in. You know, the factory isn't making shoes anymore.
Right.
It's making the ideas and experiences. So I think all the experiences, or Nike, Adidas, all of them are focused on experience. And so I think that was one of the legs that they wanted to really implement inside the brand. So
mm-hmm.
really for community experimental events and stuff.
And talk about one of the things that I think you kind of brought to light, and I kind of noticed you, it was kind of a running theme on your Instagram. How do you feel, how important is it, do you feel, creators support other creators?
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there's no words. Of course. I mean, because if we don't, who will? You know, and
mm-hmm.
especially when you have that creative team that really supports each other. I think it's super important, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I try to go to, you know, all my homies' events. I try to go to different creative events and get different,
mm-hmm.
find the different sub pockets, the subcultures. Try to go to those events, see what's going on, meet new people, and try to support any way I can. I think that's how we continue to keep each other inspired. And I think that's our duty.
Mm-hmm.
Our duty may not be to get capital off of each other. It may just be, you know, I'm here for the inspiration. I'm here for the support in any way I can.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, we'll figure out other ways to help each other in the long run.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a little bit more of a serious question.
Yeah.
Do you think creatives support other creatives? Like, I understand you say you have friends and things like that, but from a local aspect, how what have you seen that's kind of ticked you off in a sec? in a sense. I understand you got your positivity, there are some things when it comes to when it comes to creators where it's like, you know what, why are we not doing these things? So what kind of bugs you a little bit?
For sure. I think being born and raised here and having a bunch of friends and creatives that are here, mm-hmm. we've grown up with each other.
Right.
So we kind of hold these old projections of each other. So someone might be thinking your 18-year-old self when you're, you know, 25 now. Someone might be thinking about what you did, you know, however long ago, and still hold on to that. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes prevents from us working together, mm-hmm. or working together on a bigger level, or even just sacrificing certain things so that we can focus on something that's going to be big for both of our brands and both of our companies. So mm-hmm. it is a little difficult navigating that, because that's just people's mentality. And, you know, and that's why when you're able to go to new cities and go and you connect with people, because they don't know you. They don't know what you've come from. They mm-hmm. don't know how you are. And so when you put on this face, or when you introduce yourself and you're all about this, it's really easy to connect and collaborate on that level. Here, it's just like, yeah, oh, that's, we all like cousins, you mm-hmm. know? And so, and that, as far as my sub pocket, my culture, right. In other cultures, it just seems like there's a different perspective of creative mm-hmm. for us. And, you know, my pockets, it's fashion, it's music, it's, you know, street art. For another creative pocket, it's like wedding photography, or, you know, really upscale events, mm-hmm. or beer, brewery, you know,
right.
design. I don't know. Like, that's another form of creativity to mm-hmm. another pocket of people. So that could be another issue as well. Just like, okay, you're creative. Oh, I'm a fashion designer, but, you know, I design for more so breweries. And mm-hmm. how can we make that stuff connect? Mm-hmm. And that's why that kind of leads into what I do, these ideation labs, bringing these different pockets mm-hmm. of people together, different cultures, and mm-hmm. trying to figure out how we can connect.
Now, Charlotte, I feel, being here for 12 years, and you are a native of Charlotte, so you've seen the growth from a young age up until now. I've seen the growth the past 12 years. My thought process is, when it comes to Charlotte, is I believe that there are more creatives than people would imagine. I think a lot of us are now, I consider myself creative too. I think a lot of us now are getting ourselves out there and learning how to network. But before that, Charlotte to me I don't think Charlotte has yet found their identity again. I think the identity with Charlotte has only been categorized in two areas: banking and the color. So you have the banking industry here, which of course I work in full time, and then the aspect of what we think about Charlotte is purple and teal. Kind of like if you go to when you go to Pittsburgh, it's black and yellow, but it's also known as a blue collar city that's really gonna get nitty and gritty down to get to the things that they want. Charlotte, we're still trying to figure that out. So what do you think is gonna take for us to find that niche and that identity for Charlotte to be a place where everybody can say, look, I need to get my chops off. I need to get my creativity brewing. I'm not gonna go to Atlanta. I'm not gonna go to DC. I'm gonna go to Charlotte. What do you think it's gonna take to get there?
It's funny that you mentioned Pittsburgh, because I visited Pittsburgh when I was working at Social Status, and it seems very similar as well. Like, they have a real underground art culture as well, mm-hmm. but it's still that same, like, independent versus institutions.
And, right.
You know, when can that bridge? So there's a lot of similarities there. For Charlotte, I would say that it seems like there is more of a drive of this creativity coming, but it's, I think the non-identity is gonna really come from really individuals owning their identity, mm-hmm. like the baby, for example, really owning an identity no matter if we agree with it or not. He
right.
owned that, and then he took off with that.
Came out with a diaper.
You know what I'm saying? Like, own that, whatever, own but the it identity.
Worked.
Exactly. Own that identity as an individual, push it out, you're creating the culture, and mm-hmm. now you start creating this up pocket. And he's got, like, you know, the stunner guy who I don't list too much or whatever, but they're creating their identity, they're owning it. And I think that's what we have to do on an individual level, and that will, you know, carry forth. That will trend and go into different subcultures, and that, again, because that's what Charlotte is made of, these different sub-pockets and subcultures. But it's going to take individuals to really own up and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to stick to this, and I'm going to own this.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what's going to help Charlotte kind of gain its identity as a one space, pretty much.
Okay. Any books or anything that you kind of read to kind of?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, one of these guys I used to play basketball with, one of this young guy, he just asked me a couple books. So I gave him, like, all right, I'll give you some commercial books, some, you know, and then I'll give you, like, some secret books that are really got the keys, but, mm-hmm. you know, don't really know. So I just put the commercial books, but just, like, you know, books that I read when I was young. Think and Grow Rich.
I was just about to. You know, that's my go-to book when I tell.
Yeah, that's definitely the go-to.
Shout out to Napoleon Hill.
For sure. That's definitely the go-to. Think and Grow Rich. You know, Robert Greene. I think that's a lot of start for people too. Like 48 Laws of Power, The 50th Law with him and 50 Cent,
mm-hmm.
Mastery. All of those Robert Greene books just teach you about the psychology of people.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the Impossible by Patrick David. Those are really just like the commercial books that keep you inspired and keep you. You know, understanding that it's a mindset, it's a mentality thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that you keep that mentality of what you want, where you want to go, then, you know, you'll get there. So those are like the, you know, couple books there that I think will help.
Okay. And with Charlotte, what do you think is the first thing Charlotte needs? As far as like, just whatever. I mean, you know, we got the sports teams, you know, you got a couple malls. But what do you think Charlotte would actually need to say, okay, we've arrived?
I think we just got to have a consistent heartbeat. I think we might, we'll do really cool shit, and then it'll just fan out. Like, All-Star, cool as fuck. We had a dope-ass All-Star. I don't really know what happened after All-Star, right? Like, there was this,
right.
All right, cool, walk along type of thing. Then the spring and summer hits, and we have some more, like, art stuff and cool stuff. But I think when we have these, you know, big experience, big events, you know, hella follow-up would help. So just having a consistent heartbeat, having something to do every Saturday for mm-hmm. these different pockets and different subcultures, having that going. I think Be Social's doing that very well, having consistent events. I think, you know, Charlotte in general, as far as art, Charlotte Shout got something going on, the museums,
yeah, this week actually,
right?
Yeah.
Like there's, so that having that consistent heartbeat for all these different subcultures, I think will really help us.
Okay. Let's talk more about the ICANN agency. So you started 6 years ago. So how has that development been from the moment it was an idea to now?
It's really funny because every time I try to make it something else and try to like put it into like, okay, this is what it is, it just recycles back to what it was when it started.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started, I had the idea of always being a collective, of trying to represent or give infrastructure to independent creatives,
mm-hmm.
And building a network from that. But again, also servicing that, so you could see how it was independent creative agency network.
Right.
But it's grown tremendously just from the fact that we're able to focus. We're able to focus and say, okay, this is what we're doing, and we're going to stick to doing this.
Mm-hmm.
As a creative, it's something I just talked about. You know, we have all these different ideas, and we want to, of course, do everything. But, you know, we're working for 8 hours out of the day for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
We're sleeping for 8 hours, you know, four hours.
I drink four hours.
Okay. You know, most of us. Yeah. But cook, clean, eat 3 hours. You got to be nice to your friends and families. That's probably going to take another 2 hours from you, and then you probably mess around on Instagram for however damn long. You know, you really got an hour, 2 hours out of your day to really try to do something. So that, from that mentality, I was like, okay, it's not that we can't do everything. You know, we're all great, we're all creative people,
mm-hmm.
but we need to specify in order to impact people the way that we're trying to impact people. And so that's kind of that's the only difference, I think, from beginning to now. It's like, okay, we're still going to do all these great things, but we're going to take this one road to get there. And so that's what it is.
Now, the hat, is the hat part of ICANN?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just like in merch that we have. Yeah.
Pretty dope.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Is that one of, how many ideas do you have just outside the hat?
Like how many things do we do or we try to put our hands on? Mm-hmm. So really, we've just been focusing now on just our apparel, our merch, because it is viable. You know, I was talking to my friends about it. A lot of us got to stop thinking we're above a t-shirt brand. People want to support. People want to, you know, buy clothes and buy t-shirts, especially when it comes with the message.
Mm-hmm.
So it is viable. We do have our in-house merch that, you know, helps us. But we're more so focused on like, okay, how can we develop programming? How can we do events? How can we create experiences that are going to provide infrastructure for the creative class? Mm-hmm. And how can we bridge the independence in the institutions? You know, what ways do we see that? So one of the things we pitched to an agency here, a really big agency here, was an accelerator program that pretty much gave people entry-level opportunities for the agency.
Right.
So just getting people involved in branding, advertising, and marketing, because that, of course, is majority white, majority men in those agencies. So we want to definitely be able to try to pipeline some type of way to get people of our color, of our mentality into those doors to start controlling the messaging going out. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit of something that we do. But again, it's really centered around, okay, programming, experiences, ideation, you know, strategy, and putting that into something tangible.
Okay. Another question I want to ask you, I like to ask our creatives this question. So you have your friends, you have your family. How important is it, or do you care? So this is just a candid answer. Question, do you care about your family and your friends supporting what you have going on? And let me expound on that for a minute.
Yeah.
The reason I like, when I talk to creators and I talk to people on the podcast, the common theme is about the support. And I kind of mentioned that earlier where it comes to supporting other creators. But we also have family and we have friends that, one, don't give a shit what you got going on. Two, they do give a shit what you got going on, but they don't know what to bring to the table in that. But then you also have tangible products that you are looking for. Well, things, you got to have money. You got money is going to drive the product, whatever you got going on. But you're also going to have those friends and those relatives, people that you were close with, that's just not going to support. So how do you respond to that?
I used to feel ousted when my friends or family didn't support, because I feel like, you know, I try to go to everyone's events. I try to, you know, be there, support Instagram, do what I can, buy shirts, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to feel that way for sure. But I had a mentor who kind of walked me through and was just telling me like, hey, you got to do this for you. You know, you got to do this for you because, you know, people are fickle. Think about yourself.
People are envious at times.
Yeah. And that's one thing too. I try not to interface with that. I try not to even, you know, put that in a sphere, but that's something too. And it's like, so just do it for you, you know, it's something me and my family and I have talked about for a little bit, you know, cause they haven't really come to none of my events, until recently. And, again, it did make me feel some type of way for a while until, you know, I just was like, you know what, who am I really doing this for? And yeah, of course I want to provide infrastructure for them and for the creative class in my community. But I have to see it to fruition.
Exactly.
You know, I have to do the work. I have to make, no one's going to see it. Everyone's going to see the final, most people are going to see the final product and be like, wow, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But getting there, I can't really be concerned with, you know, who's supporting and who's not. I got to take what's coming to me and, you know, packaging it, selling it and keep it running.
And the reason why I asked that question, because again, I want to get your answer.
Yeah, for sure.
But you're right. So you're right about that. So cause I feel the same way. And everybody, especially my friends, not all in the podcast. It just with other things that I had going on. I think I felt the same way at one point in time, but it took me to realize, like you just stated, I think you kind of summed it up perfectly. Who are you doing it for? You're doing it for yourself. You're definitely not doing it for them. Unfortunately, they're not going to jump on the bandwagon at that moment. Once you start getting real successful,
of course,
they're going to come around. And unfortunately, and fortunately, these are your friends and these are your family.
Right.
So when they do come back around, there's no point of being mad. Just like, yeah, these are my people. Yeah, they wasn't there at the beginning. But again, they're not understanding the grit and grind that one person has to go through. And sometimes the people who's going to gravitate towards what you're doing is going to be somebody that you don't even know. And those are the ones that's going to make that journey worthwhile. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. My guy used to tell me, there's no sunset for the sun. And I used to never get, I'm like, what is he talking about? And then he was, you know, he explained it. He's just like, man, what if the sun one day was just like, all right, I ain't messing with y'all today.
I ain't shining today.
You know what I'm saying? Because y'all tripping. I told y'all, you know, like imagine that. So he's like, try to put yourself in that mindset. Like, there's some of great buildings, cars, computers, technology, all these things that we use, and we don't know the founder. You know, we don't know the owner. We don't know the engineers. We don't know the people who made this, but they still made it.
And it had, and it had something that you like.
Exactly, for sure. And so that's how I kind of look at it. I'm the best designs. You probably don't know who designed it. So, you know, we're just trying to try to do what we can the best and just provide a real service to people. And again, it's for us to see it into fruition.
Bet. All right. So what we like to do on this show, which is pretty much the premise of this show, is just to ask all my, you know, ask everybody I talk to on. So what's next, and what's next on the horizon for Brandon?
You know, we're going to keep building ICANN. You know, we got a great agency. We got a great team. We got a great community who comes out to our events, support us through, our in-house merch. So we want to keep providing great experiences. So that's the ideation lab or customization events, you know, different experiences that apply to everyone. You know, we want to inspire, we want to inform, we want to be a place that we can help build the creative infrastructure here, and we want to, you know, partner with leaders to do that. You know, so I this conversation here, having our conversation, our communication, I hope that people can see that, you know, it's about collaboration, it's about getting together and figuring out each other's perspective so mm-hmm. that we can do it together. So that's what's next for us. You know, we're gonna keep this thing trucking, we're gonna keep it building, and you know, anybody who wants to join the ride, they welcome to come.
I'm gonna join the ride with you, man. I'm in the area. Anything that you have going on, I'm gonna make sure to check it out. I'm gonna make sure to put that information out. I think people need to know exactly what's going on. And it's just always good to hear, you know, just always good to hear young people that get it. You know, getting it early versus getting it late. About it, you know, the older you get and you're not looking at what possibly could be done, you don't ever want to look back and just see regrets. So I applaud you. I applaud you and your team for looking into that now.
I appreciate
it. Trying to figure out the things with Charlotte. But I'm going to be paying attention to everything that you got going on, man. Salute to you. Salute to ICANN. Salute to your whole team with that, man. But I do appreciate you for coming on to my platform of Who Got Next to tell your story, man.
I appreciate the invite, man. I appreciate someone like you is doing that too, man, because it's definitely needed as well, man. So,
hey, man, just trying to do my part. But just let everybody know where they can get in contact with you at.
Yeah, man. So it's you can personally, my personal page is at Brandon.Crooms, C-R-O-O-M-S. You can follow us. That's pretty much where we're most active at. For the agency is ICANN, that's I-K-A-N agency. You could get us on Instagram, and that's pretty much where we're active with our events and mm-hmm. everything that's going on, and we got some dope content there, so check us out.
Yeah, man, make sure you do check out his content. I'm at least once a day, he got that camera in his face, and he's saying something inspirational. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so he's always saying some good stuff, man. So it's always good to hear those things. I'll be paying attention, man.
Dude, okay.
Yeah, so just make sure y'all check him out. And again, I am your host, E-Dub. You want to check me out on my Instagram. My Instagram is whogotnext_CLT. If you have any questions for me, somebody you want me to check out, hit me up on my email. My email is whogotnextclt@gmail.com. All right. Peace.